The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. I hope you're going to have a good day listening today. And no, Charlie, we can't get it to work. I can't get the sound to work. Don't know what's going on. So I'll figure that out a little bit later. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. If you are interested, you can also you can email us at... info@carm.org. If you have a comment or a question, we get them. So sometimes I look at them on the air, read them on the air, and we go through stuff. And so for those of you who are curious why we're not, the sound isn't coming through, I don't know why the sound isn't coming through, because at least on the feed, not on the radio screen working there, but on the feed, it's just not... I'll see if I can reboot the computer during the next break, and we'll see if we can figure out what's going on, because I don't understand why a certain aspect that's supposed to show up hasn't shown up. I may have to reboot the computer for that. Anyway, I have a fast computer, so I can do it during the break. All right. Also, if you're interested, you can join us on Rumble. Now, what we're doing is we are slowly trying to get more and more people to go to Rumble. Because let's just say as the society moves to a more liberal bent and YouTube becomes a little bit more, I don't know how to say this, but a little bit more difficult when it comes to freedom of speech. The conservatives are often penalized if you say things, and that's been the case for quite a while. They call things misinformation, which reminds me, I read an article that talked about the government developing a ministry of, or something it was called, the Department of Misinformation, or something along those lines. And when I heard about that, I just thought of the novel 1984, where they had the Ministry of Truth. And the Ministry of Truth, their job was to decide what was true and what was not true. Of course, what was true is what agreed with their agenda and the political movement. And that's what was true. And they would often, you got to read the novel. In fact, I even have the shirt on, Make 1984 Fiction Again. I love the shirt. But it's pretty bad. And so that's why we're moving over towards Rumble, because we get more freedom there. And we can say things and not have to worry about being penalized because of our opinions. So there you go with that. And we'll be going more to Twitter also, because we do believe in the work of Elon Musk, who I'm so glad bought Twitter, and is trying to get freedom of speech back. You know, that's good news. I'm encouraged by that. I think that's a good thing. I don't know what you think, but I think it's a good thing. And let's see, what else? I hope you all had a good weekend. And I'm going over to Rumble right now, and we'll get to, I don't know why the sound function is not working at all inside the browser. I can reboot. I'll do that. I'll do a reboot during the break. It takes me just a little bit to do that because my computer's really fast. And praise God for that. All right. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. All right. So I think we'll talk about something here that was interesting. I had a friend over yesterday, and he asked about Michael Heiser's position on the Council of Gods. And I went over some of the material with my friend about this and tried to get him to understand and to see and accept the idea of strict monotheism. I'm going to read more of Michael Heiser. I have read a lot of his book, The Unseen Realm, but what concerns me in it is the idea that there are a council of divine beings out there. This is polytheism. So I have a problem with that, of course. And as I've read through Heiser's book, The Unseen Realm, I was let down by some of the exegetical procedures that he went through. I thought that he did not represent certain texts properly, and that he read into things that weren't necessarily the case. And because of it, I lost my respect for his exegetical ability. Undoubtedly, the book that he's worked on has a lot of information in it. There's a lot of research in it. I'm familiar with a lot of these issues. So when I went through, I read about a third of his book, I think, or 25% of his book, and I got more to read. But as I went through stuff, I remember thinking, okay, this is good, this is good. Oh my goodness, why is he saying that? I don't get why he would affirm this and that. This is not necessary. He's reading into it. And I remember doing that several times. And after a while, I just lost faith in him, his ability to accurately exegete scripture. So that's what happened with me, and I'll get more into that a little bit later. All right. Okay, yeah, we know there's no sound, so we'll figure that out. Don't know what, I'll reboot my computer. It should work. Like I said, if you want to give me a call, you can do that, 877-207-2276. Also, if you're interested, you can email me at info@carm.org, and we've done that, so I'm going to go through some of the questions there. The one person says, I often hear that if a person has the desire to be married, that desire was put there by God to be fulfilled through marriage. Basically, it's the, if you don't desire a good thing like marriage, God must have a spouse out there for you speech. That's not necessarily the case. Marriage is something that is good, and a person that God may not want to be married for whatever reasons may still have marriage urges, etc. And so then God may want that person to sacrifice that aspect of his or her needs for the glory of God. And God may be calling that person to such a thing. So the generic speech, if you have a desire, it's a good thing. Not always. So anyway, my question, if I desire marriage, does that mean God will give me a spouse? Or is it just a platitude folks tell us single people? I would say, I don't know if God wants you to be married. I don't know if he doesn't want you to be married. Won't find out until you get married. And if you do get married, then you'll know that's the woman you got, or man you got to stay with for the rest of your life. But a lot of times what people do in this issue of marriage is what they want to do is they pray for the perfect spouse. This perfect spouse, they have a list of things. And that's fine. You should have a list of things that you expect from a spouse, godliness, faithfulness, things like that, honesty, integrity, being a good parent, things like this. But you should also be praying that you are made and changed to such a degree that you can then be a good spouse for whoever it is that God would put in your path. And this is something that I find that people just don't do. They don't realize what they're doing. They think they're pretty good. And can you give me a spouse, Lord? I need one that does this, this, and that. In other words, I've got myself worked out pretty well. This is what I need is someone else. And it's a selfish attitude. And a lot of times people, what they'll do is that exact same thing. They will just pray like that and not realizing that they need to be praying, Lord, I know I got issues, and please change me, prepare me so that I might be a good spouse for the one that you would give to me. And that's what needs to be done. All right. Been catching up with the old Slick Answers episode, Bible Thumping Wingnut podcast. Great stuff. Yeah, that's a long time ago. That was years ago. So I've been doing all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of different things, different ways. And that was a while back. All right. Now, let's see. This person says, I've tried calling previously to discuss Mormon topics with you on the radio. And different. Oh, okay. We already talked about that person. I already have that highlighted. We'll get to another one. Let's see. My name is so and so. Oh, okay. That's something different. Here we go. I understand the verse Galatians 5:3-4 that deals with if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit. So that verse will be speaking of people who initially dabbled in Christian faith but did not remain, per 1 John 2:19. That's good. Which that verse says, they were not from us because they never were of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained. Instead, they went back to leaning on, relying on their own righteousness rather than in Christ's righteousness. That's right. ultimately, as we view their life as a whole, they did not have true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They only seemed to believe at first, but eventually it became obvious what their actual faith was in. That's correct. So that's a comment. Oh, okay, good. That's from, oh, I get that. That's Tim. Oh, Tim, you did a great job. Tim, he's one of our email responders. And I thought that was a comment from somebody else, and that was Tim. And he did a great job answering that. Good, good, good. Okay. All right, so let's see. The Roman Catholic Church is not the only leading group that teaches salvation by faith plus works. The Orthodox Church does that also. That's correct. So do most Protestant denominations. A lot of them do. A lot of Protestants erringly refer to or believe in the idea that you have to be good in order to keep yourself right with God. That if you do bad things, you're going to lose your salvation. And this is a false teaching that is taught in Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, is taught in Islam, is taught in Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and a lot of Protestant churches. Now, with the exception of the cults, most evangelicals see all professing Christians as saved as long as they're persevering to the end and doing good works. If one must believe in both the gift of God, everlasting life, the giver, and the Lord Jesus Christ, then anyone who has never believed in the permanence of the salvation Jesus gives is yet unsaved. No, not necessarily. You can have someone who doesn't believe in the permanence of salvation but still be saved, and the problem is they're just not understanding the doctrines. They're not understanding the true position. You can have people who are saved in varying levels of theological understanding, and they just don't understand certain aspects, certain issues, and they can still be saved. That's fine. There's not a problem there, okay? So not necessarily the case. Let me go on reading. Okay, that means that many outstanding Christians are not yet in God's forever family. If good works can't get you to Christ's kingdom, then it is essential that people believe in Jesus for the salvation he guarantees. Well, of course it is. You got to believe in that. Some people mistakenly think you can lose your salvation, though. Yeah, thanks, Matt. Love the show. Longtime listener and supporter. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. All right. So, yeah, it's a good question. It's a good issue to discuss because we want to make sure that people understand that that where salvation is not dependent upon your good works. It's not dependent upon your faithfulness either. A lot of churches teach this. Forget the Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox. They're just way out in left field. They're not even saved. They're teaching false doctrines. But within Protestantism, there are so many that teach that your salvation can be jeopardized by your behavior. Well, then that would mean then that your salvation is kept by your behavior, and that's works righteousness. So a lot of people don't connect the dots. They don't see that. And once the light comes on, they go, oh my goodness, you're right, that is a bad idea. And then that's okay. And that would be a sign of their regeneration. So faith and works are related to each other, but works are the result of the change in us that God has given us. That's regeneration. And that is what the trust in. All right, folks. Hey, I'm going to reboot here, and we've got a break. Be back in a couple, 3 minutes. Please stay tuned. I'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Now, I know that some of you can hear me, but something's up. I'm just going to just tell you what's going on. I do not know why all of a sudden one of the audio feeds that's always on my computer suddenly stopped. And it's the one to the headset microphone, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe something's unplugged someplace. I don't know if they figured out. Do some troubleshooting later, but I can't do it right now live on the show. So what I've done is set it up so that you can hear through the webcam. So it's going to sound a little bit distant, and you won't be able to hear the callers if and when they call up. So there you go. That's what's happening. All right. Well, we get a little, you know, issues here every now and then, and that's just what we're doing. So if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Hope you guys can hear me. If you can, let me know if you can hear me in the rumble a little bit. So someone says, someone get car sound engineer. You know, I was just thinking today how much I have to do and the things I got to learn. Okay, now, you know, now I've got, when the show's over, I'm going to have to troubleshoot this issue, which really has got me puzzled. I don't know what is going on and why. I have to check all the wires. I got to check everything. Got to redo drivers. You know, and I was a computer tech for years, so it's going to be helpful to do that. But also, get this, I was reviewing. What I'm doing in PowerPoint is prepping in PowerPoint. I spent two or three full days now working up intros and outros to 1 minute Christianity, 1 minute apologetics, and just articles. So that when you click on the article or whatever it is, that a nice little intro comes up for 3, 4, 5 seconds. This is what looks professional. And I've had to spend so much time learning how to do that, and how to make this work and that work. It's just complicated. And so I've spent hours and hours and hours doing that. And then also trying to make the graphics look good. So spent time in AI learning how to write prompts in order to get graphics to look pretty good so that I can make something look decent. All right. So that's just part of it. Then, now get this. So I've had to learn the camera we got and how to hook it up with the audio and for the audio settings and camera settings for video. And I have to do the lighting. And so in order to do the script for 1 minute show, I mean, for 1 minute theology, 1 minute Christianity, what I need to do is I have this old phone. It's just an old phone. I don't know how many, 10 years old. And it's small, but it's just the right size for putting text onto, that you can put an app onto, that you can scroll with it. Well, in order to do that, you have to mirror it. Well, you got to get the app to mirror it. And I had to get a small, just a really small, what do you call those, teleprompters that goes on the end of the camera. I had to research which one and find out how to work it and use it and how to use the software for the phone, the old phone I'll be using, and for speed and things like that to make it work. So then, once I get that going and I get the script on there and I get the lighting right and the audio is at the right levels, then I do tests and I have to run it. And then once I make sure, okay, that's good enough, then what I'm going to do is just do some videos. Then I take the stuff, come over to my computer, and I have to open up a pretty sophisticated image program. Now, if someone knows, or video program, you know, it's... they have different ones. If someone knows a good basic one, that you don't need super sophisticated stuff, just the basics, be able to put text in and blend things and things like that, let me know, because I'm researching those too. And once I find out a better one than what I have, I'll have to learn how to use it. But I already have one that's pretty powerful. And I've been using it for years off and on, but it's so powerful it's hard to use. There's a high learning curve. So anyway, I had to put everything together and then port it out to the proper format of MP4, then upload it. And hopefully it'll work. So there's just, I'm smiling when I'm saying it, because there's just so much to learn. And don't forget this, when I write the texts, I have to write them so that I can read them off the teleprompter looking like I'm doing it, you know, without just a monotone kind of a thing, so that it's engaging. And, oh yeah, get this. So, on screens, they're 16 by 9. That means 16 by 9 proportion. 16 being horizontal, 9 being vertical. Well, also, because we're going to be doing it on Instagram and on TikTok and things like that, where people go on their phones, we have to switch the format to 9 by 16. So I also have to take the video and figure out, don't know how to do it yet, figure out how to port it over to a 9x16. That also meant, and it still does, that I have to develop intros and outros not only for 16x9, but 9x16. And I have to teach myself how to do all of it. And teach myself PowerPoint stuff. It's just a lot to do. I'm not whining. I'm just saying there's a lot, and this is why it's taking me a while to get there. So, hey, look, Mr. Kit gave us a $5 rant. I want to thank you very much for that, brother. Mr. Kit's a good guy. And if you want, you can support the show. All you got to do is go to Rumble, rumble.com/Matt Slick Live. Matt Slick Live at rumble.com. And if you do /live after that, it'll take you right into the show I'm in right now. And you can see me sitting here at the desk doing what I'm doing and telling you how much I got to do. In fact, I'm playing with some of the lights behind me, orange and blue and or teal and some other stuff. I got to figure things out. Like how I like how personal Karm is. The big ministries I could never have interacted like at Slick Life. That's all right, crazy Diamond. That's what's really nice about the group of people here, except for Mr. Kit. Everybody's really nice and worth having in there, okay? So some people I got to tease, like Mr. Kit. He's a good guy. And there you go. And on Wednesdays, I do a Clubhouse Q&A session. And on Thursdays, I teach Bible studies. So, you know, there's a lot I'm doing, a lot of stuff. And I've got to finish editing a book and start working on another one. So, and I'm 66. You know, most people, when they're 66, most people, they slow down. And I'm trying to figure out how to do more. How do you, for example, maybe some of you around my age have struggled with stuff like concentration. What did I come into this room for? And you stand there. I'm not leaving till I figure out what I came in here for. 3 days later, you give up. And then you walk out. Oh, I just remembered. And then, you know, so stuff like that. And plus, there's some other stuff. Oh, man, I got so many things, so many irons in the fire. I got a lot going on. So, hey, pray for me. And we do have a prayer ministry, incidentally. Prayer@karm.org, if you want. You can pray for us. And I'm gonna ask you, if you wouldn't mind out there, praying for our missionaries in Africa. We have a guy in Malawi. That's kind of the southern half-ish of Africa. And we have another guy in Nigeria. And so the guy in Nigeria, I got to be careful. I don't want to say names because it's a dangerous situation he's in. And when we get back from the break, I'll tell you what's going on there, and then I'll you know, take your calls. If you give me a call, we have nobody waiting. So give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call at the bottom of the hour, we have nobody waiting, please give me a call, 877-207-2276. And I apologize for not being able to hear the bumper music in and out. We're doing a backup thing. I think the Comrex might be the issue. Now that's next thing to reboot. I'll do it during the break so I can test it. It only takes half a minute to reboot, so I'll be doing that. All right, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. Now, I think we'll get some more emails and do some email stuff because that's, I like it. You know, it's always good to be able to answer questions. I was going to talk about the Michael Heiser thing. That's right. So, there's an issue that comes up out of Psalm 82, and I'm going to go through this and talk about it a little bit. And I'm thinking about how deep to get into this kind of a thing. There is this statement in Psalm 82, God takes his stand in his own congregation, and he judges in the midst of the rulers. Now, the word there, he judges in the midst of the rulers. The word for rulers is Elohim. He judges in the midst of the Elohim. literally, we could say, among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? All right, now, Heiser, from what I understand and recall, and others who've represented what he's said, says God takes a stand in his own congregation, judges the myths of the gods, and so therefore there's a type of divine beings that have a quality of divinity and are called gods, but are not the true God. And this is one of the verses that is used to support that idea. He stands in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the gods. So the problem here is, there's several, but I'll look at the context first. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? So what's he talking about? What's the psalmist saying? Is it the gods who are judging unjustly and showing partiality to the wicked? Because notice what the next verse says, vindicate the weak and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. So this is interesting in that that verse, those verses of 3 and 4 of Psalm 82, are for us today. But that's another thing. This is what we're obligated to do, but we'll get into that. Now, so God takes his stand in the congregation. He judges amidst the rulers. Who are the rulers? Who are the ones who are judging unrighteously, who are showing partiality to the wicked, who are not vindicating the weak and the fatherless, and are not doing justice to the afflicted and the destitute? Is it a bunch of gods? If that's the case, then what that would mean is that these gods have power over earth, and God's condemning them for what they're doing. Is that what's going on here? No, it's not. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you all die like men and fall like any one of the princes. So then he said, arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who possesses the nations. This psalm is what's called an imprecatory psalm. To imprecate is to wish harm upon someone. Judgment. You know, it's like saying, God, go get them. To imprecate, when you're praying, you can imprecate because the psalmist does it. You can say, Lord, judge the wicked in their wickedness. I could say, Lord, judge the Biden crime family and all the ungodly pagans who are raping and pillaging the government and trampling the Constitution underfoot and taking bribes. Lord, deal with them. May they be judged according to their own unrighteousness. And you can pray that, and it's legitimate to pray that, because that's what the psalmist does in his songs, which are worship to God. So they're asking for righteousness, the righteousness of God, upon people. Now, when I pray imprecatorily, I also add in, but nevertheless, Lord, I do ask for their salvation more than their judgment. Please save them, but if you choose not to, then take care of them. Get them out of the way. You know, destroy them. Whatever it is that you must do, Lord, and ask God to deal. So this is what an imprecation is, and there's lots of imprecatory psalms. I think there's like 10 to 20 or something like that out of the 150, or maybe 20 or 30. There's quite a bit. Nevertheless. So when God says, vindicate the weak, no fatherless, and take care of the needy, he's not talking about these gods that are out there in some council of the gods. He's talking about the unrighteous judges of Israel. There was a time in Israel when the people who were running things were the judges, and many of them were corrupt. Also, the people of Israel were also, as it happens, people get in power, they get corrupt. I mean, look what's happening in our government. And so this is happening there too. And so what he's doing is saying, get them. And why is he calling them Elohim? Because they have the power of life and death. They have the power to say what can and cannot be. And they're like gods. And that's what's going on. And this is why God says, nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any one of the princes. So what he's saying is he's mocking, he's condemning, and he's judging, the psalmist is, the unrighteous judges, and saying, God, judge them. and arise, O God, judge the earth. So he says, you'll die like men, and all of them, like anyone, will fall like the princes. That's what's going on. So this is an imprecatory psalm. Now, having said that, let's jump over to John 10:30. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works of the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law? Now, that's interesting, your law. I said, ye are gods. Now, I suspect the reason Jesus says your law is it's the imprecatory psalm is applied to them. This is for you. This is your law. This is a law on you. I think that's what's going on. He didn't say the law or our law, because they're all Jews, you know, the law, but your law. And I think that's a hint of what's going on. And he says, I said, you are gods. He's quoting Psalm 82:6. He says, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father sanctified and said to the world, you are blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God? So what he's doing is he is invoking an imprecatory psalm, which is a psalm of judgment from God against the unrighteous rulers, and he's applying it to them. But in that psalm it says you are gods. And he's so God is calling them gods. Not that they're true gods by nature, because we know that they're not. Because Galatians 4:8 says that when you serve, when you did not know God, you served by nature those which are not gods. So there aren't any other gods besides God. So what is going on here is the people in charge had great power. They were had godlike power. And so because of that, they were called gods. They were just, it's a mocking thing. You're like gods. You're God, little gods, you know. And so when Jesus quoted the psalm, he's quoting condemnation upon them and at the same time throwing them a curve by saying, well, those judges were called gods. Why are you upset with me for saying I'm the Son of God? Answer that. That means they have to answer two things now, the imprecatory psalm aimed at them and their unrighteousness, as well as exegete properly why they're called gods if they're just men. It's like you. You have power, too, to the unrighteous Jews because they want to stone him. So Jesus is exceedingly clever in how he responded to them and what it was he said to them. And this is what's going on. Now, the Mormons use this, you said you are gods, and they use it to say we become gods. And I say to them, it doesn't even say become God. It says you are. Are you a little God right now? No, you're not. You know. And I use their own theology against them, and then I show what it is. And then I think it's in Jesus the Christ, page, I'm trying to remember, it's been a while, where James Talmadge actually properly analyzes this verse and Psalm 82:6. I'm going to figure out what page that is, and maybe someone can find it for me in one of my articles. It'll come back to me. Six, I don't know what it is, something. Anyway, so it's there. And this is what's going on. So this is the kind of stuff that's important for us to be able to understand by reading context and understanding various things of Scripture. So there you go. Now, we've got a break coming up here in a second. I want you to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. And after the break, if you don't get any callers, we'll be getting to some more of the mail. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get to Jamal from North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt Slick. Thank you for taking my call. If you don't
sure.
Had a question about Ephesians, and you've answered a question so much of this about stoning folks. They said there was like a form of execution back in that day. I wanted to ask about killing false teachers. I don't have the passage right in front of me or the scripture right in front of me, but I believe it's in Ephesians.
So you want to know about, about stoning people? Whether it's to do it today? Is that what you're saying?
No, that was that was a previous question, but this is something similar to that. I read, I believe, in Ephesians where they're saying, or the scripture was saying, for the false teachers, they are to be killed. Wanted to get your take on that.
I don't think that's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they would kill false prophets, but not in the New Testament. I don't know of anything about stoning false prophets now, stoning people. I don't see anything like that. So I don't believe that's in the New Testament. Okay.
So considering that's Old Testament, we're going to have to follow that, right?
Well, we don't follow... Okay, yes and no. We follow certain aspects of the Old Testament, but not all of it. And people say, well, why? Well, there's divisions in the law, and there's some aspects of the law where God said, say to the sons of Israel. That was specifically aimed to the Israelites. Then there was laws that were aimed at everybody. And, they're not to lie and steal. Those things are universal, and those things are carried over into the New Testament. So we're to follow those laws, like the Ten Commandments. However, just to make a note, the only commandment of the Ten Commandments that's not reiterated in the New Testament is the Sabbath. All the other ones are referenced and cited, but not the Sabbath. Because Jesus is our Sabbath. He's the one who fulfilled that aspect. Sabbath is rest. He's our rest, and we get into that. So we are to follow those, but we're not to follow stoning people because that was under a theocratic system where God was in control, and we are not under that now. We're under a different covenant. So the old covenant was abrogated at the death of Christ. That's Hebrews 8:13, Hebrews 9:15 through 16. So we're not to harm people. Well, we can execute them, however. We can do that. That's in Romans 13. A lot of people don't know that. We're to be subject to the governing authorities, and it says it's a minister of God to you for good, and it has the ability to use the sword. The sword was a means of execution and of enforcement. And this is what is in Romans 13:4. So capital punishment is supported in Scripture for the issue there. Okay? So other than that, no, I don't know anything of churches and people and Christians stoning people and killing false prophets and things like that. Okay?
Okay. That is pretty good and thorough as usual. You answered even my follow-up questions about why we are not to follow it today. So that's pretty good. To answer a question you kind of posed earlier, the thing that the Biden administration was trying to push out was called the Ministry of Truth. Yeah. And I'm so glad they did not pass that. I'm with you on that 1984 book. I read it, and it's so funny how some of that stuff is so prophetic today.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Our country is in... People don't realize... Here, I'm going to say this. I know I'm a doom and gloom preacher here, but like an iceberg, you only see so much above the surface. That's what we're seeing now. And there's a lot more under the surface that's going on that's evil and wicked. I mean, you think about this.
Oh, yeah.
There's people who riot, when something doesn't go right politically or someone is killed by the police, there's riots. People are killed, properties destroyed, there's mayhem, the government is opening up our borders, they're sending our reserves to China. I mean, the people in control, they don't care about us. They only care about themselves.
Right.
And so that's just the tip of the iceberg. You just know, they are looking good on the surface best they can, but underneath, they're whitewashed sepulchers. They're doing kickbacks. They're doing under-the-table deals. They're padding their own pockets. You know that's happening. And they're and the ones who are paying for it are us, the average Joe. My wife and I, get this, my wife and I want to, we need to move for her health to get away from a double two-story house to go single-story. But basically, we can't afford it. And I make okay money. We can't afford it because the interest rate is now double what it was 2 years ago. And we can't afford the payment.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, thanks, Biden, piece of crap. So, you know, and I don't want my wife to fall down the stairs. I'm not saying she's going to, but, you know, we're getting older and she's got medical issues, so blah, blah, blah. We want to do this for her health. We can't do it, you know? So we just can't. This is what it is. Can't afford
it. Yeah, I had a conversation today with a couple of people about people owning their own homes. They wanted to downsize and move for whatever reason, and they can't because they can't afford to, because they can't afford the new rates.
That's right.
And
stuck.
You got, what, yeah, they're stuck, and we had, what, another bank failure? So how are we doing now under this administration? That chip that they're talking about, not chip, but how people send reserves overseas. During our crisis, when everybody's trying to conserve gas and all that, why in the world did the Biden administration send oil to China, of all places?
Yep.
So, how is that benefiting us?
Yep.
The
economy's
in the tank. They're talking about raising interest rates on people that make, who have good credit on their homes, to subsidize who are not having good credit. How's that making any sense? So, this is all some kind of agenda, some kind of plan. Like you said, we don't
socialism.
Know what's going on, but we all know that we're all hurt.
It's the corruption of socialism. It's communism light. And we have, as citizens, need to rise up and say we've had enough. We've had enough.
Definitely.
And my opinion is they need to get these people out of office and read the preamble of the Constitution. Read the preamble.
Amen.
It's time for us to get our country back.
Right. Yeah. And again, I know you're at the end of the show. I'll leave you with this. They will riot when somebody gets attacked or somebody gets hurt, except when it is for Christians, unfortunately. Just like with that Nashville shooting where you had those three kids and those three teachers get shot, there was not a peep. Because we, as Christians, we don't do that. So you let
somebody else
get caught up in that kind of mess, riots in the street. Now, why was there not any riots for those kids and those teachers that got shot in their own Christian school? Where was outrage for that?
Right. Oh, yeah. And did you see the clips of different, there was this one woman, she's, I can't believe, she had little ears on, like cat ears, and she's on a panel or in some school board or something, and she said no because Christian values are no good. And it's like, what? And this kind of stuff is happening all over the place. We're in trouble. So the Christians need to get off their hands. They need to, we don't have the unction to fight back anymore because people are wussified and they don't, they're not ready to pay the price of righteousness. It's costly. We're too comfortable, apathetic. The people in leadership know it. And so they just don't. That's right.
Well, anyway, I don't want to hold you up. Thank you for the answer, and thank you for the conversation. God bless you for what you do, Matt Slick.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy. All right. God bless. Let's get to Matt from Fort Worth, Texas. Matt, welcome. You're on the air. Hello? Matt. Fort Worth, Texas. I clicked on the right button. I'm waiting for you. All right. You want to give me a call? Okay. Let's put him on hold and let's go to John. So, Matt, if you want to call back. John from Illinois, welcome and on the air.
Hello, Matt. How are you this afternoon?
Doing fine. Hanging in there, man. So, what do you got, buddy?
So, I have a question regarding the flood. My question is, if you could point to... scripturally, why, and I know you're probably not supposed to ask the question why. Why does God do this? Why does God do that? But I feel comfortable enough to ask you, and if, you know, depending on your answer, because I know you'll give me a full, complete, and honest answer. Why did God decide to in the flood, kill all the animals except for two of the unclean ones and seven of the clean ones. I mean, what did the animals do?
Well, it wasn't that it was just all the animals. The flood would kill the people. The animals were on the land, too, where the people are, so they're going to suffer, too. So they suffered for the sins of man, and that's it. Okay, that's why the animals were also killed. That's why they had to be spared, or at least some representative of them, to so repopulate later. That's all that's going on. People were all over the place. They were bad. They were very, very sinful, into all kinds of sexual sin and perversions. And God said, that's it. We're done. Start over. And there's some other reasons, too, with the Nephilim and things like that. And so he couldn't just have the water just get the people. It got everybody and everything. The plants were submerged, everything.
It's kind of because God decided to kill everybody with water, and killing all the animals was kind of a byproduct of that.
Sure.
Reading too much into it.
No, it's just, it's to kill all the people, you got to flood the land. Well, there's animals there too. They're going to die. So let's save
all
some
right.
of them.
Matt,
that's all. Real simple.
Matt, you answered my question. Thank you very much, and you have a great day.
You too, man. God bless. Thanks. All right. That's John from Illinois, and we lost the other guy. He had a question on church membership. I love talking about church membership. So if you are in a church that has church membership, okay. I always ask people, show me it in the scriptures, and I'll do it. I don't see church membership in the Bible. And that's it. So I've had a lot of people in my Reformed camp just get on me for that. You should be a member of a church. Why? Show me the scripture. Boy, they don't like that. And I don't say, you know, don't do it if you don't want to. I just say, show me a scripture, the obligation that I have. And me, what I would do is I would just attend a church. I would never join. I just don't believe in that. And I would just go. I wouldn't be used. I wouldn't have any ability to do anything, because a lot of churches, you got to be a member in order to teach or whatever. And I just would never be used, because I just don't believe in church membership. I don't see it in Scripture. That's just me. That's my narrow-minded view. So there you go. All right, all right. Hey, there's the end of the show. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, back on there tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have that tech problem on my end here somehow. I'll have to work on it. We'll figure it out. May the Lord bless you, and we'll talk to you guys later. I'm out of here. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.